Good morning to you all, and those who are listening in, God bless your wonderful hearts. Today, I wanted to share about something that we're all always doing throughout our lives, and you'll know what I'm talking about here in a moment. But the title of this morning's sharing is simply called, Be Careful What You Wish For. It's going to involve good choices and bad choices. Good decisions and bad decisions. We're all guilty of that. Hopefully more of the good decisions, like we've heard a little bit about this morning already. A couple of examples where we can go either way with our wants and our needs. Birthdays. That's a time where it's probably filled more so with wants than needs. Would you agree? How about Christmas? Another one that's stacked to the ceiling with wants. I hope I get this. I want this, this, and this, right? But what about God? What category would that fall into? How about both? I want God, and I definitely need him, right? So I would like for us to think of some of the things we wanted but didn't need. Think about that. Some of the things you wanted and you thought you needed, but you didn't. One area we've all fell to at one time or another, when it comes to our wants and or needs, is food. Especially when you're growing up. Mom and dad are trying to get you to eat vegetables and all this other stuff. You just want a burger and fries, you know? You know this feeling, I shouldn't have eaten that. I mean, we do it now more so maybe when we're younger, right? I've found myself doing that a lot. But thank God my beautiful wife takes care of me and gives me the good stuff to eat. When I'm not around her, I can go rogue. But sweetheart, don't worry, I don't. Because I've got that small still voice in my head of you saying, That's not what you need. One piece against us throughout all of these decisions in times is our own logic. Our logic constantly tries to justify our bad decisions. Who here is guilty of that one? You know what, I should do that, but it's going to be okay if I just do it once, you know? So much for our own logic. In life, it's a good idea to start our days, our daily lives, by asking God, our Heavenly Father, to be in every part of our day. When we wake up, if you aren't already, I highly recommend that in your prayer to the Father, you say, Father, I want and need you in every part of my day. Because, especially knowing that we'll be making decisions throughout our day. So, like you shared, you could have, Todd, driven right by the goodwill, but God was talking to your heart, and you listened to him, and you made the right choice. And it was profitable not only for you to be a listener and a doer, but for your friend that you picked up that item for. This morning, we're all going to look at a record in God's Word of something a people wanted but didn't need. We will also see some ingratitude, and we're all, unfortunately, a little guilty of that. But because this is a family-style fellowship, I thought we would sit back and enjoy a wonderful story that God put in his word to show us that what happened then happens today. Like our dear brother, Bob McCall, shared last Wednesday in fellowship, nothing's changed. Right, Bob? Right. Everything is the same. Right? Different colors, different sizes. More modern, doesn't matter. Everything is the same. And everything before us requires us to make a choice or a decision, good or bad. Hopefully, good. In this story, the main characters are God, Samuel, which means heard of God, and I'll explain that in a minute, by his mother Hannah, and the Israelites. Samuel was a Levite, last of the judges, and first of the prophets, after Moses. Something to think about. The choices people make say a lot, and this includes us, about their character. Amen. The choices people make say a lot about your character. In 1 Samuel, there we find it full of choices, some good and some bad. One of the first significant choices made by someone was his very own mother, Hannah. And that was, as she cried out to God for a child. Henceforth, Hannah bare Samuel, who she dedicated to the Lord from his birth. She said, Lord, I receive this desire of my heart to have a child. I make an oath with you and dedicate his entire life to you. Wow. I think that's wonderful. And now the story. So if you could all go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And in verse 1 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read the NLT version because it just opens it up a little bit as opposed to the King James English. I may go both at times, but for now I'm going to read the NLT. So it starts off by saying, as Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. Verse 3, but they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old, and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. This is a good time, as we just read 5, to go to God for help. But we're going to see, as we saw, bad choice number 1. They want a king. They already have one, God Almighty. Verse 6. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to the Lord for guidance. How about that one? Where did Samuel go for guidance? To them? To his neighbor? To a Goodwill store? He went to the Lord, plain and simple, to go to God for help. That was good choice number 2 on Samuel's part. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied. Really? For it is me they are rejecting, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods, plural. And now they are giving you the same treatment. More bad choices. What about Matthew 6:33? If you can turn that, hold your finger in Samuel. Matthew 6:33. It reads, seek the kingdom of who? Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You seek the kingdom of God first, okay? Get a little humble, you know, and say, Father, can't do this without you. So, unfortunately, we are swayed in life to look at other things and make God the second choice. We need to stop that and say, Father, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you want me to say? Picking it up in verse 9. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. Sounds like something's coming up that ain't going to be good. Verse 10. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. This is how a king will reign over you. Samuel said, the king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots and his charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow his fields and harvest his crops, and some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them, not ask, force them to cook and to bake and to make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officers and attendants. He will take all your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding. But then the Lord will not help you. 19. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Hello, do you want it in writing? Even so, we will still want a king, they said. We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to the Lord what the people had said. So you notice here, Samuel keeps on going back to God. You see, he doesn't go and starts taking out his notepad and writing implement and start writing, no, that one's not good, let me try it. He went straight to God. And you know what? What he did then, we can do now. Especially knowing that we're his children. Father, I need help here. I don't want to make a bad choice. In verse 22, and the Lord replied, do as they say, and give them a king. Then Samuel agreed and sent the people home. I'm sure it was tough for him to do that, but nonetheless, Samuel was following the Lord's instruction. Like you said, Todd, earlier, you may not understand or see the big picture up front, but just go God's way, and you will eventually. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to skip a few chapters and pick up the rest of this saga. Samuel 12, 1. Then Samuel addressed all Israel. I have done as you've asked and given you a king. Voila. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old, gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Now, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one. Whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong. No, 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 they replied. You have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken a single bribe. The Lord and his anointed are one, as the Lord and his anointed one are my witness today, Samuel declared. That my hands are clean, yes, he is a witness, they replied. It was the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron, Samuel continued. He brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt. When that happened, guess what? More moaning and groaning, and as I mentioned from the onset, ingratitude then as well. People just don't get it. Can't God catch a break? He's let them out of captivity, right? And they're already looking to the future saying, hey, what are we doing here? You know, if God led you there, there's a purpose and a reason. Now, stand here quietly before the Lord as I remind you of all the great things the Lord has done for you and your ancestors. When the Israelites were in Egypt and cried out to the Lord, he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them from Egypt and to bring them into this land. But the people soon forgot about the Lord their God. So he handed them over to Sisera, the commander of Hazor's army, and also to the Philistines and to the king of Moab who fought against them. Then they cried to the Lord. You see, when things start going wrong, oh, now I'm going to cry to the Lord. You know, I couldn't do it by myself. I made a bad decision. And God is up there, if I could give you a mind picture, doing this. Ay, ay, ay. And he speaks Spanish too. What are you guys doing? Did I not help you and show you the way? We have sinned, really, by turning away from the Lord and worshiping the images of Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal was the chief male idol back then, and Ashtaroth was the chief female idol, so we can cover both groups. But we will worship you alone if you rescue us from our enemies. Doesn't that sound like a contingency? If you rescue us from our enemies? Put God first no matter what. You can't go wrong. God doesn't need a warranty or a guarantee in life. It's a fact that if he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, guess what? Turn around, because he's right there. Turn around. Verse 11. Then the Lord sent Gideon, Bidan, and Jephthah, and Samuel to save you and to live in safety. Talk about mercy. Talk about mercy. God, if anything, didn't have to do this after their rejection of him. 12. But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you. Hello. There we go again with a bad choice. Even though the Lord your God was already your king. Why are you trying to replace God with something that ain't going to work? All right, here is the king you have chosen. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Now, if you reverence and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. These two verses have the word command in there, commands, in King James, and this one is obey. This is simply means God's mouth. He said, his mouth. If you disobey his mouth, what's coming out of his mouth? Not them, not you, whatever, but God's mouth. See, this obedience is to hear or to hearken in order to obey or comply. People say all the time, Father, what would you have me to do? Well, when he tells you, be ready to do it. Don't say, okay, you know what? I can't do that. Maybe the next time. God tells you to do something, step out with a believing heart. You cannot go wrong. Verse 16, now stand here and see great thing the Lord is about to do. You know that it does not rain at this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king. And so Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die. is what they were asking Samuel. For now, we have added to our sins by asking for a king. In other words, what they're saying to Samuel, we've dug a deeper hole. Verse 20. Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You have certainly done wrong. He's telling them, yeah, you've done wrong. But make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They are totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people then or today, because that would dishonor his great name. For it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right. The King James verse says that same verse 23 reads, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. This is what you call great humility. When I saw that verse of all the ones we read, it really hit my heart. God forbid that I should cease from. I would have stopped. I said, hey, you know what? You knuckleheads want to do that stuff and go with Ashtaroth or Baal? You're on your own, you know. I tried to help you. God definitely was there. You dissed him. But yet he's saying, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So in our own lives, there's people that we are confronted with or whatever that we know they're doing the wrong thing. But do we turn off our prayers for them? No. We ask God to give them the direction that they lack, you know? And when you do that, God's going to work in his own way to try and straighten that out. And you may not see it then, but down the road, it's going to sink in. I'm going to say, why did I do that? Oh my God. And who knows? I've had this happen to me at work where someone wronged me blatantly when I was trying to help them. And months down the road, they came back and they apologized to me. And I said, you're good. You're good. Now let's get this together and move on. Verse 24. But be sure to reverence the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. But if you continue to sin, you and your king will be swept away. You know, many times we go through life and we've got a decision, a choice, a want or a need, whatever you want to call it. And we say to ourselves, you know what? Even though I know this is not the right thing to do, I'm going to do it because, after all, I'm guaranteed to go into eternal life. So God will just say, whatever. But you know your heart's talking to you. You know your heart is talking to you about not to do that. The other day I was driving, and I got off the freeway, and I was already contemplating this bad choice I was about to make. Huh? I mean, there was no question why it was the wrong choice. And I come to, or get off the freeway, you know there's a light at the end of the freeway before you can merge onto the street, and I'm stopping, there's a car in front of me, a white car, and I'm sitting there just mulling over this thing. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but what? It's not a big deal. And my eyes drop to the back of this car in front of me, and it says, Jesus died for all the sins you've made. I saw that. I said, Father, that's easy to hear. I not only hear it, but I'm seeing it. Jesus died for all the sins you make. And I said, oh my God. If that's not being talked about, I don't know what is. So simply in conclusion, so near the end of Samuel's life, he anointed Saul to be Israel's first king, which started out with good decisions, but soon turned to some very bad choices. God brought an end to his reign. Enter King David and his reign. read that, you will see. That was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that God presented the people. So, again, be careful what you wish for. Because I'm telling you, when you do this, you're not going to be asleep. You're going to be eyes wide open. And you're going to see 99.9% of the time the two choices before you in whatever realm of your life they may be. And you're going to see good and bad decision. There's no on the fence thing saying, well, since it's sunny outside and it feels good, today it's going to be a good choice. Or because it's raining and it's cold and everything, it's going to be a bad choice. Don't matter. The choices are clear in front of us. Which one do we make? Which one do we wish? Which one do we need? Not what we want. Okay? Because we can all be selfish in that regard. But you know what? As we go to God first and foremost, like I said, at the beginning of your day, and ask Him to be involved in every choice you make, every decision that you may not even know you're going to have to make yet, but you've already said, God, I'm going to need you. There's no doubt about it. Father, I know you can multitask, and I'm not the only one asking you this, but I am. So, with that in mind, we can never be wrong by making that choice. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I'm going to close with a prayer. Thank you. Close with a prayer, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us wisdom from above, not ours. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, Father. We want to do it the God way. We want godly success. We want your decisions, Father, to permeate our hearts so that when we step out making the right choice, we know that your signature is all over it, Father. And so we thank you for giving us light when it comes to a choice we have to make, Father. And for each person in this room, we know that you never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, help us with the decisions in life. No matter how educated we may think we are, we ain't as smart as you. So I just thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you help us to clarify. In Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' sweet name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.